We are in the Lenten season. The first Sunday in Lent is normally the topic on Jesus' temptation. That's what we are going to look at in our meditation today. When you look at Mark's gospel, Mark is very quick in saying everything that he wants to say. He doesn't give explanation. He doesn't give background detail. He jumps into action. He jumps in giving short things that have happened in Jesus' life. Many explanations he could have given, the background details he could have given, but he writes everything in a very short way. In other words, we just read seven verses from Mark chapter 1. In these seven verses, he mentioned three things Jesus did. He took baptism, number one. Number two, he faced temptation. Number three, he preached the good news. How did he preach the good news? So three things that Jesus did, he put it in seven verses. So we have to look at all these three in our meditation this morning. Jesus was baptized by John. John, of course, gave baptism of repentance. What does that mean? Repent and be baptized. That's what John preached. Repent of your sins and be baptized. Stop doing sin. Return, repent, don't do it anymore. For the sign of not doing anymore, come and be baptized. So you start a new life. Your old life is gone. You are starting a new life. And this baptism is the sign of starting a new life. That's how he gave baptism. The old is gone. The old is washed away. And you are now out of the water. You are starting a new life. Jesus came and he took baptism. Why he should take that baptism? Why did Jesus want to be baptized? It is not meant for him. He doesn't need to repent. He doesn't need to leave everything and then start altogether new. There's nothing. He is God. He came to this world as God's son. Absolutely, there is no fault in him. Absolutely, there is no need for him to repent. But Jesus wanted to be baptized. Why did he want to get baptized? So there are four reasons people say. Let me list down all four and then we will go forward. Number one, Jesus, God's son, came to this world and he wants to fully identify with us. So through baptism, he says, I am one among you. I am with you. I am part of you. That could be the reason. He didn't stay away from the people. He turned all stones to see that he is part and parcel of humanity, identifying with us. Probably that's one reason. The second reason the scholars say is that so far he was with his family. Now he is starting a new journey. His public ministry is starting. So far he was at home or was doing something else. Now he is doing something else. So it is the mark of his new journey. It's his public ministry started a new journey. That could be the reason. The third reason scholars say that, you know, Jesus is validating John's ministry. John was doing the baptism and his ministry is widely accepted. And Jesus is giving further approval to John's ministry. So to support John's ministry, he took baptism. That's one another view. The final view of why he has taken baptism is he set an example for all of us. He baptized, so we all have to be baptized. He set the example for all the people who would follow him. Now, in all that, only one thing that comes very powerfully, that is, Jesus is submitting himself to God's plan in his life. In other words, Jesus is obeying God's plan. He is obeying his Father. That matters a lot. In Christian journey, this matters a lot, obedience. He obeyed his Father. He surrendered himself to his Father's will. You know that I have been in ministry for some time now. Let me not go and talk about that. The one thing, if you ask me, is important in ministry. What one thing that is important in ministry, I would say obedience. Obedience matters in God's kingdom. I still remember how I could come all along these many years in ministry. What did I do? I didn't do anything. 1985, I first surrendered myself to come to God's ministry. The first step that I took was important, very important. The rest is a history. The first step, you take a bold step to the Lord, for the Lord, and say that I'm going to work for you. That is what he wants. And the rest, if I turn back and say, oh, I have done this and I have done that, I have done nothing. It's all God's grace, who I am, what I am, nothing else. Even that first step which I have taken, I don't want to give credit to myself. God has put me in a wonderful place, gave me all strength, and I could take that decision. Of course, my parents were not happy about it for various reasons, but that step I could take, it is all because of God's grace. What I'm saying is, in God's kingdom, obedience matters. Someone said, you cannot say victory and defeat. That's not the way we had to say. You had to say obedience and disobedience. If you are obedient, you will be victorious. If you are disobedient, you will see defeat. We all remember this song, right? Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So trust and obey. Jesus obeying to God's plan or God's will, the first act of obedience. Now, Jesus, when he finished his temptation, he went and preached. What did he preach? He said, the time has been fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news. The time is fulfilled. The waiting period is over. All along, people have been waiting. That waiting period is over. Kingdom of God has come. I have come. Therefore, the kingdom of God has come. Now, repent and believe in the good news. Two things we need to be doing. Repent and believe in Jesus. Both things we should be doing. What Jesus is saying here is, you cannot remain in your position. You have to repent. We know that Jesus always brings the message of love. He preaches love. I was sitting with a group of students for a Bible study, and one of the students said this, that God is full of love, and he will always love people, and he will redeem everyone. There's no one who is going to leave out. He's full of love, and at the end, he's going to redeem all of them. Do you agree to that statement? No, not at all. If that is the case, Jesus doesn't need to preach the preaching of repentance. Repent. If you come to me, then you need to repent. You cannot serve for two masters. You have to change. In me, the change is possible. That's what Jesus is saying. In me, you can be changed. Repent and believe in me. You know, in India, we have this game called Kabaddi. This is an international game now. I think it is being played even in Olympics. I don't know. I have to check. This Kabaddi game is a very interesting game. There are two teams will be playing. And, you know, both of them have been given their territory. One person from one team should go to the other team and touch a person and come back. Okay, you have to simply touch the person and come back. But you may be caught. But you shouldn't, you know, you have to be very careful. You have to gently touch the person, or you may beat the person, that's your skill. But you have to touch and run back. Are we doing this with Jesus? We go, touch, and come back? Jesus says, come and follow me. Be with me. Many of us want to do that. You know, we want to simply go, touch, and come back. Now, for example, you go to Belgium, and you go to a Belgium famous chocolate shop. You go, you entered, just saw and came back, didn't do anything, didn't taste the chocolate. Will that work? Are we doing that? Are we doing that with Jesus? Jesus says, repent and believe in the good news. Believe in me. So Jesus has come. He came to our side to be part of us. And he says, repent, leave all your old ways. I'm not going to bother about all that you have done. But when you come to me, you be a new creation. I am going to change you. I am going to make you a new person. Believe and come. Obey. Obey. Now, the next Sunday, as we said at the beginning of the service, we are going to, there are five of us going to be baptized. They take that first step of obedience. Yes, Lord, we repent. We are not going to go the way that we were going. We put a stop. We take a U-turn. And then now we are going to follow you. They are obedient to this call of Jesus. Repent and believe. Because they obeyed the call, because they believed in Jesus, they are going to take the baptism. Will you please pray for these five people? Their names have already been mentioned, already been shown on our screen. I will just tell their names, just to pray for them. Every day in these 7 days, Ivo or Ivo, I'm always making the mistake, Benjamin, Joshua, Entel, and Lois. These five people are going to be baptized. They are taking this step. the step of obedience, the step to follow Jesus. Now let's come back and see what had happened in the at Jesus' baptism. Mark says when Jesus took the baptism, the heaven torn apart. As I said, you know, Mark is a very enthusiastic guy. I think last week Chris said that. Very enthusiastic man. And he wants to say that heaven torn apart. But if you look at Matthew and Luke, the same passage, Matthew and Luke are saying heavens were opened. Luke would say heaven was opened, but that's not the case here. As soon as Jesus was baptized, heaven torn apart. What is he saying? What is he saying? He is saying that the distance between heaven and earth is now gone. Why? It is all because God has taken the side of humans. The separation between heaven and earth is gone. Now heaven and earth stand side by side. The heaven is now here. The heaven, the silence period is over. The darkness period is over. Light has come and Jesus has come and stood with us. Heaven burst opened. That's what Mark is saying. Another interesting thing that he says, there are three things very quickly. The number one, heaven torn apart. Number two, he says voice from heaven. And also he says the Spirit descending like a dove on Jesus. Now, we really do not know how this has happened, but probably a dove came down and sat on Jesus' shoulder, but John knew what it means. John knew that, yes, this is the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus. And the voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved, this you are my son, the beloved, with you I am well pleased." So what Mark says is that the triune God is involved in the baptism. Father, who talked, "You are my son, with whom I am well pleased." The Holy Spirit came on Jesus, and Jesus physically present there. The triune God was present. That's what Mark says. Third, what Mark says about the voice. The voice came. Why did this voice came? First time you hear this voice, of course, at the time of Jesus' birth, angels announced, but the voice from heaven is first time. And the voice is, "You are my son, the beloved, with you I am well pleased." Why? Why did this voice come? Is it to encourage Jesus? "You are my son, I am pleased with you." Is it to remind Jesus that you are God's son? I don't think so. This voice has come for all of us. This voice has never come to anyone in the Old Testament. Big characters came on this earth, and such voice did not come for them. But the voice came for Jesus, because Jesus is the only one, the unique one, the special one, the final one God has sent for the humanity, and God wants to acknowledge that. He is my son. I have sent them. With you, I am well pleased. Are we listening to that voice? A fantastic voice, just to tell you that, believe in him. He is the final one for the entire human race. Now, when you are baptized, these three things happen. You are baptized in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In fact, when you are baptized, the triune God is present, as he was present at the time of Jesus' baptism. The same triune God is present in your baptism. Yes, because we are baptizing you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, as the voice came from heaven, now I want to read a verse from Luke chapter 15. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. That means when you take baptism, the heaven rejoices. Yes, one person has come and joined in God's side. Heaven rejoices. You are the child of God. You are no more called away from God, but now you have come to the side of God. You are the child of God. The heaven rejoices. And thirdly, which is very important, again, we talk about the Holy Spirit. I want to read from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. You are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. When you take baptism, the Holy Spirit comes and put his seal on you, because you are now part of God's side, or you are the child of God. You are sold, you are bought, you are purchased. You know, when you purchase a property here, when you purchase a car, immediately the announcement comes, right? Verkauft. Am I saying correct? It is sold. You are sealed. The Holy Spirit comes on you, and he has taken you as his child. He is going to guide you. In other words, now a new journey begins. The Spirit is going to lead you to the new journey. That's what exactly happened immediately after Jesus' baptism. What did the Holy Spirit do? He drove him to the wilderness. If you read the passage, it is very, in Mark he says, the Spirit compelled him, forced him to go to wilderness. It's a time of celebration. It's a time of sitting and enjoying with friends. No. You have started a new journey. Go. The resting period is yet to come. You are on a journey. You keep going on that journey. You have obeyed. Now you continue to obey. It's not difficult at all. That's what I said. I've been in ministry for some time, and following him is the only thing that gives you enjoyment. If you try to do something else, that pains you a lot. Being in his side is what true enjoyment is all about. There is no happiness or no joy out of him. Now, why did Jesus was taken to the wilderness? Wilderness to be tempted. Staying in the wilderness to be tempted. Mark doesn't give a lot of details, as I said earlier. Matthew and Luke give a lot of details. Matthew and Luke says Jesus was tempted at the end of his temptation. At the end of his 40 days, Satan tempted, temptation for food, temptation for recognition, temptation for power. That's what he gives a lot of details, but Mark is not giving that details. But Mark says, He was in the wilderness tempted. What does that mean? Don't come out of the wilderness. Stay there. Tempted to come back to your normal, regular routine. No. You are now in a new journey. 40 days of fasting. 40 days of not eating and drinking. It's you stay there, tempted. And another thing Mark says, which is very interestingly, this is where it is mentioned, he was with wild animals. He was with wild animals in the wilderness. Why did Mark mention this? Wild animals. We have to go back. Mark brings the contrast between the temptation of Adam and Eve and the temptation of Jesus. Adam and Eve were surrounded by animals, and those animals were tame. Those animals were domesticated. They were sitting in the garden. They were comfortably living there. And in that environment, they faced temptation and they yielded to this temptation. Now, our Lord Jesus, who did not go to the garden, who came to us in the wilderness, who took part of our life in the wilderness, and he is willing to live with the wild animals and be tempted, so that we all can have the new life. And as you read the gospel very beautifully, the Lord Jesus, who joined us in the wilderness, joined us in our suffering, suffered for us on the cross, died and was buried, and the third day when he rose again, he was risen in the garden. He came to us in the wilderness to suffer with us so that he can take us back to the garden. We can all join with him and rejoicing. So the Spirit is with us in this new journey. When you are baptized, that is not the end of it, that's the beginning of it. We are still in the wilderness. We are still in the world of world where suffering is part and parcel of our lives. You know, yesterday, our men, in the men's breakfast, we discussed about why there is suffering in the world. And everyone is suffering because we live in the wilderness. And God has not abandoned us in the wilderness. Of course, he is with us. And he says that in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have won the world. So when you start this journey, you are continually obeying him. And the Holy Spirit helps you in this journey. Baptism is the first step. And you are not immediately taken to heaven. You are still kept in this world. And you are still being guided by the Holy Spirit. And you are being prepared by the Spirit. As I come to the conclusion, when you start a new job, the first thing that you do is not to find out what is your freedom. The first thing that you find out is whom you should report. Now in this new journey, whom are you going to report? The Lord Jesus. The first duty of every soul is to find not its freedom, but its master. During the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln met with a group of ministers for a breakfast, for a prayer breakfast. Some pastors came together to pray. So one of the pastors looked at the president and said, "Mr. President, let's pray that God is on our side." The president replied, "No, gentlemen, let us pray that we are on God's side. Let us not try to catch his hand to our side, but let's give our hand to him and he will guide us beautifully. Keep obeying. Keep staying in the side of God. God will truly honor you. God bless us all. Amen."